When I have a really bad day, I will surrender my anxieties to the Lord. Amen?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant shares a very personal story of how the truth of Psalm 46 and its background in the life of David restored his own confidence and sense of balance as a child of God when he was having a really bad day. Turn with us now to Psalm 46 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, What to Do When You're Having a Really Bad Day. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Have you ever had a really bad day? On September the 1st this year, I had a really bad day. You know, on August 31st, I had been admitted to the hospital with a very serious infection. And although they immediately started giving me antibiotics by intravenously, the next day, Wednesday, September the 1st, they finally discovered that none of the antibiotics were having any effect. So the doctor came to me that Wednesday afternoon and she said, Brian, you have what we call an MDRO. Never heard of an MDRO before, and I'm not looking to have another one. But she said, you have an MDRO, a multi-drug resistant organism, and this bacteria has learned to defend itself against many of the antibiotics we give. And so what we're giving you has been of no use. She said it's going to take at least 48 hours for us to find something that will work. We're working hard in the lab. It's going to take 48 hours before we figure it out. Well, that wasn't particularly good news, but I wasn't flustered because I know God was in control. Amen? Amen. Well, before you applause, I just want you to know, as the nurse came and she told me, she said, you know, the doctor said we are to work hard to keep your temperature below 101.5. So we're going to give you Tylenol. We're going to have put ice on you. So we had ice packs and we had everything going on. Later that evening, the temperature was 103.4 degrees and rising. And I was still calm because God was in control. Amen. Well, don't applause yet. This was the day that there was a tornado, big tornadoes. Well, it turns out that our neighborhood, my home and the home of two of our children's homes were in the path of the tornado. And later that night, my wife wrote to me, two of the children's homes have been hit by the tornado. Trees have fallen on one son's house and his family and broken through the roof. They're taking shelter in the basement. And one of my daughter-in-laws and my granddaughters is in the shelter. Well, all of a sudden, as though I was trusting in Jesus, I suddenly felt so overwhelmed that I felt that things had changed and it had become a very bad day. So what do you do? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What do you do when you're having a really bad day? Well, guess what I did? I said to God, God, isn't this more than enough for one family? Doesn't sound so spiritual right now, does it? I said, God, is this more than enough for one family? And God immediately answered. He immediately answered. You said, did he speak audibly? No, he didn't speak audibly, but his voice was unmistakable. There was no doubt that God was speaking to me as he said to me, be still
and know that I am God. It's right there in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Well, surprisingly, he wasn't rebuking me for my impertinence to ask him, isn't this too much for one family? No, he wasn't rebuking me. He was gently saying to me, be still. He was encouraging me, be still and know that I am God. And so here, as I lay in the bed, I started reflecting. I had to reflect on the fact that he is the omnipotent God. There is nothing too hard for him. He can do anything. Am I right about that? And I started reflecting on the fact that I am his friend. But then I actually had to start dealing with the reality now, because you see, what God was saying to me, this be still, the idea in that verse is to surrender or to submit. God was saying to me, submit, surrender your anxieties to me because I am God. So I started chewing on the goodness of God and the grace of God. The reality finally hit, and I said, you know, my family and I, we're really expecting for me to come out to this hospital, but it could be that God has another plan. Because if this thing, if it's two more days before they can find a cure and this fever keeps going up, I might actually be saying goodbye to this world. And I literally, as I lay in the bed, I was so thankful for the fact that if I was taken home, I knew exactly where I was going. You better believe all that was passing through my mind that night, that I would be safe in the arms of Jesus. Oh, I hope you have that hope this morning. Oh, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get to know him, because one of these days it may have been you lying in that bed, and listen, he may not have raised you back up. I started thanking God for his goodness to me through my life, the family I grew up in and the family he has blessed us with. I thanked him for the ministry he has allowed me to share. And I did say to him, God, somehow I thought you had more work for me to do. But I said, God, if this is your plan, and here's, I don't want you to miss this, because when we talk about surrendering our anxieties to the Lord, we need to understand what we're talking about. I had to get to the point where I said, God, whatever you decide, it's okay with me. Whatever you decide, it's okay with me. And that night, as my body roasted, I said to God, God, whatever you decide, it's okay with you. And immediately the peace of God flooded my soul. Amen. And I went to sleep. Put this in your notes if you wouldn't mind. When I have a really bad day, I will surrender my anxieties to the Lord. Amen. When I have a really bad day, I will surrender my anxiety to the Lord. Because what happened that night was not just for me. The next day, the Lord made it clear to me that I was to talk about this, because this was not just for me. It's for individuals here and individuals who will be listening to this message who are also having a bad day right now. You may be dealing with a health challenge. It could be that you're in a storm in your marriage and you're wondering how much longer you can hold on. There are all sorts of storms. Some of you are going through storms with your children or your grandchildren. Some of you are going through storms at work. It doesn't matter what type of storm you face. I want you to know, and God is saying to all of us this morning, his children, that when we face these storms, we must surrender our anxieties to him. Amen? So just to make sure you got it, let's say that together. When I have a really bad day, let me hear you. I will what? I will surrender my anxieties to the Lord. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Amen? Let me share with you two reasons why we can confidently surrender our anxieties to the Lord. We can surrender our anxieties to the Lord because He is our infinite protector. Regardless of the storms we may face, we can be still, for God is our infinite protector. You can write this in your notes. There is no problem too big for God to handle. Am I right about that? There is no problem too big for God to handle. Amen? You know, Psalm 46, verses 2 and 3 describe scenes of unimaginable turmoil. Look with me at Psalm 46, verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Scenes of unimaginable turmoil are pictured here. God is painting a picture that no matter how desperate your storm might seem, no matter how awful it is, look at the next two verses. Look at the contrast. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. What an incredible contrast. And God is saying to us, my friend, this morning, He's saying that right now, though you may be going through some unimaginable turmoil, that He, the Almighty, the Omnipotent God, He is able to still your storm if you will turn your anxieties over to Him. Because listen, He is the infinite protector. There is nothing too hard for Him. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus told His disciples to get on a boat with Him and to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. You remember that story? Now, for some of us, we've been on the Sea of Galilee, and one of the incredible things, it is usually so serene. There's almost no boat ride as peaceful as a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. We may be going next year, God's willing, if COVID behaves itself. So if you want to come, let us know. But listen, it is as serene as it could be. But because of the geography of that area, for whatever reason, there can be incredible storms that just arise very suddenly. And that's what happened here. Here they were on the boat. Jesus went to sleep. And no sooner as Jesus went to sleep, there was an unbelievable storm. The storm was so bad, get this. Although some of the disciples were professional fishermen, they were panicking. That must have been something. Professional fishermen were panicking, and they noticed that Jesus was asleep, and they woke Him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Oh, somebody is right there right now. Perhaps last night you were wondering, doesn't Jesus care? Doesn't He see all the drama I'm going through? Doesn't see the storm? Doesn't He see all that's happening in my life? Doesn't Jesus care? Why doesn't He step in and do something? And that's the question they ask. Doesn't Jesus care? Master, don't you care? If that ever happens to you, immediately surrender your anxieties to Him. Because as you look at the story, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 39 tells us, then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Oh, it's just amazing, the contrast. You look at Psalm 46 and you see an incredible contrast. And what a contrast. There is a great storm. And it doesn't just say there's a calm. It says there is a great calm. There is no storm we can ever experience that God cannot calm. For He is our infinite protector. But listen. We can surrender our anxieties to God, not only because he's our infinite protector, but write this down, but also because he's our intimate provider. Amen? He's our intimate provider. Look at Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Step back. Did you notice what type of help he is? He's not just a help in trouble. He is a present help in trouble. Did I get that right? No, I didn't get it right. He is what? A very present help. You know, it's great to have a God who is an infinite protector. But if this God can't be, if you can't get to him, you know, I have some of the best doctors at Penn, but I tell you, when I tried getting them, I couldn't get them. You see, it's good if you have somebody that has power, but if when you need the help, you can't get them, it ain't much good. But thank God, our God is an infinite protector. Amen. He has all the power, but he's also an intimate provider. He's an intimate provider. He knows us intimately and is committed. He has committed himself to be a very present help. My brother and sister, hold on to that. He is a very present help in trouble. That night, we went to the emergency ward. You know when I went to the emergency room? 2 p.m. to get help. 9 hours later, I finally got the help. And then it turns out the help wasn't the help I needed. But my God does not have a 9-hour wait. Hallelujah. Amen. He is a very present help in trouble. And that night when I surrendered my anxieties to him, there was no wait. I immediately experienced his peace. I'm so happy that he's my God. Is he your God? Young man, young woman, is he your God? Do you know this Jesus? Is he your Savior? Have you received him into your heart and life? Are you living for him? Young person, it's time. Some of you are playing almost hide and seek. You're in and out. You're half in, you're half out. It's time to make a decision. It's time to decide. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live 100%. I'm going to be sold out for Jesus because he is worth it. I'm so glad that he's my God and he cares intimately for me. And if you become a child of God, he will for you too. You'll find that he's a very present help in trouble. Write this down. The phone line to heaven is never busy. Amen. So let's say, what have we learned so far? What have we learned so far? Let's say it together. When I have a really bad day, what? I will surrender my anxieties to the Lord. But second, write this down. When I have a really bad day, I will wait for God's deliverance. I will wait for God's deliverance. Add this to your notes. Squeeze this in. I will patiently wait for God's deliverance. Add that word, patiently. It's not in your notes, but add it in. I will patiently wait for God's deliverance. Psalm 46 tells us that it is a psalm of the sons of Korah. You notice that at the top of your, right under Psalm 46, it says, a psalm of the sons of Korah. And many Bible scholars believe it was written as a result of a great deliverance God wrought in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of the most powerful stories, I think, in the Old Testament. One that often goes missed. But I want to go to this story, the story that is believed that prompted the writing of Psalm 46. So we're going to spend the rest of the time, and we're not going to be too long this morning, but I want us to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. Let me read that first. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. You remember by now, Israel was split between Israel and Judah. Then some came and said to King Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. They're coming from Syria. They're coming, and they're in Hazan Tamor, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared. They weren't far away, because En-Gedi is not far from Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It was a national prayer meeting. Everybody showed up because they were in an impossible situation. All these armies were coming against them. And in case you don't realize how bad it was, look at verse number 12. Here's how they were praying. "Oh, our God, will you not judge these people who are coming against us? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us." God, they're too much for us. God, we don't have a chance against them. But here's what they say. "Nor do we know, we don't even know what to do. But our eyes are upon you." God, we are depending upon you to deliver us. You are our only hope, and we're depending on you to deliver us.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.